music lovers. Welcome to Wax Chatty with D-Muck and Taddy, where three pals listen to an album, then come together and discuss the dang thing.
What the heck is an album?
An album is a collection of audio recordings issued on compact disc, vinyl, audio tape, or another medium such as digital distribution.
Nice! All of our selections can be found on Apple Music, Spotify, Discogs, even in your local record store if you fancy doing some crate digging.
In the beginning of 2021, the Muck and Taddy duo started this exploration. And after we had nearly 50 albums under our belts, we brought in Deanna, and it morphed into a podcast for you so that we could share our blinding brilliance.
Come and get on the bus with us while we wax lyrical about wax.
So let's grip it and rip it, people.
Recording in progress.
Recording in
Are we all brain fried, or is it just Maddie and me? How about you, Mac? How you feeling?
Lordy, lordy, it's Saturday, and it's time for Wax Chatty with D-Muck and Titty.
Titty?
So we're here. We're back. It's Wax Chatty.
Waka, 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 waka.
It's whack-a-mole at the circus party, because this might be your kind of zoo. Welcome to Wax Chatty. We're back with D-Muck and Taddy, and here we are. What episode is it, Bill?
It is episode 17.
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, yeah.
And this episode was picked by Deanna. What is the album that you have picked, yeah?
I don't know a thing about love, the songs of Harlan Howard. It's by Willie Nelson, released on March 3rd of 2023. This is the 73rd solo album by Willie. The album is a tribute to the songwriter Harlan Howard, if you couldn't figure that one out. And it's a collection of 10 songs originally written by Howard. Now, apparently, he gave Willie his first job as a songwriter for the publishing company Pamper Music. The album was produced by Buddy Cannon, and it has this amazing cover art that I absolutely love. And that was drawn by Nelson's son, Micah.
No way.
It's pretty cool art. Willie is the moon or some kind of orb, and he's like coming down through a break in the clouds. His eyes are closed, and down below it's like a cactus and a man on a horseback that looks toward the road, two roads weaving up to Moon Willie. Kind of reminded me a little of the New Riders of the Purple Sage cover, like, that's Panama Red on horseback.
And it seems very fitting that it's black and white.
Yeah, he's got a whole website, and he's selling a bunch of, I think there was like Grateful Dead stuff, and Willie stuff, and it was kind of cool. The stuff was not cheap, but it was pretty neat.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, I gotta check that out. I loved this cover art. I thought it was fantastic. The album was released this past March on the 21st anniversary of Harlan Howard's death. However, on January 17th of this year, Willie released the single from the album, Busted. Willie, as we know, is 90 years old and still touring, and he's on the road again indeed. And
Deanna, Texas Monthly said that this was his 150th album.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? 150.
Holy shit. Because the thing I was reading, I guess that makes sense, because it made mention of it being his 73rd solo studio album, but there's so many other,
Yeah, that's the thing. There's all those with Waylon, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Waylon, listen to me.
Because you're on a first name basis with that good old boy.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm so country outlaw.
Country outlaw. Now, I didn't know this. He's this main figure of outlaw country, a subgenre of country music that was developed in the late 60s as a reaction to the conservative restrictions of the Nashville sound.
Yeah, there was like four or five of them, and they all got pissed off, and they were like, screw this.
Willie was invited to a hootenanny. It was Harlan Howard's thing. And a producer was there and heard Willie sing some of Harlan's songs. It was an informal thing, and signed him away from his record label because his record label was bumming him out. So that was another part of it, that these guys were getting away from the record labels that were more restrictive, as you said. So it does somewhat directly relate to Harlan Howard. In fact, I read somewhere that maybe this was him kind of thanking him.
Yeah, it's Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, David Allan Coe, who some of his songs are just hilarious, and Willie.
I love Willie Nelson so much, and I love it that he has another album of love songs, because he could sing a ton of these, and I never get tired of listening to them. I really don't. If anyone knows anything about relationships not working out or even just having them, it's Willie, because he's got 3 ex-wives and is married to his 4th, and he has 8 kids. But it means a lot to me, because when I was learning how to play guitar, I was like 9 years old. The first album that my mom and dad got for me was Willie Nelson Sings Kris Kristofferson. And they also got the songbook Sunlight and Shadows, which had a lot of the majority of those songs. So I learned a lot from that, and they were big songs we'd all sing in the car and stuff like that. So anyway, I just love Willie Nelson, and I've seen him in concert like 4 times.
He's actually got a new single out called Summertime that he did with Amanda Shires and Bobby Nelson, released this year. It's really great. And if you haven't listened to Willie's 2016 album, Summertime, Willie Nelson Sings Gershwin, it's brilliant. It's ace.
Oh, dude. Awesome. I have not, and I will.
They haven't pressed this on vinyl yet. They're pressing it. Blue Smoke Records is doing a Vinyl Me Please exclusive 12-inch pre-order, and it's not out until October. Pick it up.
Oh, my God. I know. I love hearing this stuff from you, because you're the vinyl dude. Like, I don't know anyone personally who has a vinyl collection like yours.
I'm just a plastic man.
That's what she said. Yes, what?
Is anybody going to be seeing him? I don't think I'll be able to in this most recent Outlaw tour. No.
Deanna and I just saw him in September of last year at Summerstage. Charlie Crockett opened up for him, who was surprisingly good. I always forget at Summerstage, you have to get there abysmally early to secure a spot on one. And so Deanna and I were in the back, like peering through the bleachers and trying to see him. I mean, we saw him, and we could hang out. We were like, you know what? It's like we're at a field day festival, and there's Willie playing on one side, there's somebody playing on the other. We were just like, let's hang back here and, you know, have a beer and just chill. It was very cool.
It was still so much fun. It was great to listen to the music. You know, I felt like I was at my first Dead show, where I really didn't get to see them. I just mostly heard them, because I was out and I was Atlanta, Georgia back in 1990. But yeah, it's like, I just was happy to be there and vibe off of it more than anything else. But yeah, I can't believe how early you have to get there. Otherwise, you're completely fucked.
They are playing at Forest Hills. And no, I'm not seeing them with Bobby and the Wolf Brothers and the whole crew.
And String Cheese there.
Yeah.
I want to go. I'm trying to see if there's any way I can. I might have to sell some stuff to do it, but I don't know.
It's pretty cool the way he's doing these lineups that are varying. Molly Tuttle, who's somebody that I really, really dig, bluegrass, I guess you'd call her bluegrass guitarist. And then there's other dates, where John Fogerty is playing with him. How fun would that be?
I enjoyed this album. It's so country. So it's interesting to go from Shebang to this, and then God knows what we're going to next. It was fun to kind of twist it back into time, which kind of this album kind of makes me feel like it's back into the 60s again.
Harlan Howard was the guy supposedly that coined the phrase, a good country song is 3 chords and the truth.
Oh my God, I love it.
It is very much a straightforward interpretation of a lot of these songs, and they're not trying to reinvent the wheel in terms of interpretations of these songs, which I'm not saying that in any way pejoratively. It's kind of unbelievably wonderful how the standard interpretation of these songs can still be so enlightening.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Bill. I don't mean to disagree with you or anything, but I was reading a few things about some of the songs, and they're like, a couple of the guys were like, well, we don't think this has ever been done before. So it was just kind of funny. Like, and we'll get into it when we talk about the track.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, golly, we found a piece of moon rock and we've never had one of those before on this planet, you know, kind of thing.
I see what you did there. That was an apropos sort of use of moon rock.
Yes, moon rock. So should we get into track talk?
Track talk?
Track talk! A waka waka. So the first song was you, Macamillion. Muckley Moon.
Yeah, so this album is a classic 10. I'm going to grip it and rip it for the first one. Tiger by the Tail. I've got a tiger by the tail. It's a song that was made famous by country music band legend Buck Owens and the Buck Owens and the Buckaroos. Owens, in the liner notes to the Buck Owens collection, 1959-1990, recalled that he and songwriter Harlan Howard had gotten together to write songs, but things were going slowly. And then Owens saw an Esso gas station sign with the company's slogan at the time, put a tiger in your tank, and got an idea for the song. It's a fun song, and it reminds me of a few ladies I've dated. No slowing down. Then we jump into track two. Track two for Track Talk. The choke-in kind from 1967. Waylon Jennings first released this song as a single, and then in his album, Hanging On, from the same year, 1967. In a nutshell, the singer is basically saying about this woman, your love is killing me. That hat don't fit this head. Your love scares me to death. No thanks.
Excuse me, parentheses. I think I've got a heartache. This is another Buck Owens tune, co-wrote, and also he sang it. It's talking about that classic thing that I think a lot of people have felt when you're heartbroken and everybody around you is just having a normal time, and out of pride or out of whatever reason, you don't feel like sharing your feelings, but you're just busted up inside and everybody's laughing and having a good time. I love the way that every verse ends with my heart wants to say, or something of that sort. And then the chorus comes in of, excuse me, excuse me, I think I've got a heartache. Oh, one of my favorite lines about this, pride makes me hide my lips. May lie and paint a bright tomorrow, but if I told the truth, I'd have to say, excuse me, but I think I've got a heartache. I love the excuse me, but I have a heartache.
Excuse me, I think I have a heartache. Excuse me, waiter, I'll have a heartache, please. A double.
On the rocks.
Oh, I see what you did there. The next song is my personal favorite is Life Turned Her That Way. It's a nice little waltz that's rather sad. It's been covered or been sung by, I shouldn't say covered. It's been sung by George Jones, Charlie Pride, Conway Twitty, Mel Tillis. Gee, nobody big or anything.
Nobody.
And then, of course, this version, it really is talking about this woman who sounds like she was pretty nasty, but the singer is not only understanding of why she's nasty, he's also honestly admitting that maybe he could have some responsibility about why she's not such a nice woman. One of the lyrics is, she's been walked on and stepped on so many times, and I hate to admit it, that last footprint's mine. She was crying when I met her, and she's crying louder today. He's such a good actor, Willie is. There's such a sadness and an honesty, and he's just, his voice is incredible on this.
You know, maybe we have to change your name from Taddy to Twitty so that we could, you know, get in the line of Conway.
Is anybody, wouldn't that be great?
Nobody would know what the hell we were doing.
And I have another suggestion. What if I just change my first name to Conway, and then I'll be Conway Taddy?
Maybe you just have to be Conrad instead. Maybe Conrad. We'll call you Connie.
Connie Taddy.
Connie Taddy, because life turned you that way.
Hello, I like Conrad Tatlock and with an ascot. After Life Turned Her That Way, then we've got I Don't Know a Thing About Love. This, to me, is what seemed to inspire the cover art that we have, that we were talking about earlier. And I love this song about just being a conversation between the man in the moon and this guy who's wondering what the lady he loves is doing and if she's coming back to him and all that. And I just think it's precious. And I also love the rhythm of it. I could see myself doing like a two-step to it. Just your basic love song, is my love going to come back to me, you know, and having the man in the moon to talk to. I just thought that was a nice, it was something a little different. And The Streets of Baltimore follows that up. And the first few bars of this, it has this great bass line, low guitar that leads into the song. I liked it. It's a song about a guy who loves his lady, gives her what she wishes for. She wants to live in Baltimore. But then I soon learned she loved those bright lights more than me. And it's heartbreaking, like most of these songs are, which is why most love songs are heartbreaking. Why is that? Why can't we have any happy songs? I had this weird alternate idea in my mind also. It says that she walks the streets of Baltimore. And I was wondering if she used to be a sex worker and she returned to the life or something like that. Or if she used to have more wild ways and not want to be just a single guy gal. I don't know.
My interpretation is that is what happened in Baltimore. That she wasn't that way before in Tennessee, but it is pretty funny. The first bit of the verse is, I sold the farm to take my wife where she longed to be. And right there, you know, well, this isn't going to turn out good.
Yeah.
What happens when you go to Baltimore?
It's just funny the way it's like, okay, this isn't going to be good, but I'm still. Yeah, gonna...
I know. Wow. I know.
Keeping in that vein, track 7 is Busted.
Oh, God.
Written in 1962. Oh, man. Everyone is broke in this song. The bills are due. The baby needs shoes. The cow's gone dry. The hen won't lay. There's a big stack of bills. The county's going to haul all my shit away. I'm busted. I called my brother for a loan. There ain't a thing he can do. His wife and kids are down with the flu, and he was just thinking about calling on me. Man, he's busted. The canned food is gone. The fields are bare. We're out of here. We're busting loose. So I first heard this Howard tune sung by Ray Charles from his Ingredients in a Recipe of Soul from 1963. This LP is actually in my collection. It's a white label promo, baby. The horn section from Ray's have been replaced by a harmonica played by Mickey Raphael, and to edge it closer to country, he had steel guitarist Mike Johnson play the instrumental solo, which producer Buddy Cannon said, I'm pretty sure no one has done that before. So there you go, Bill. the producer actually is like, nobody's done this before. And one of my favorite parts of the whole song is Willie at the end, you know, just improvising a line going, oh, can you loan me a quarter? It's just great. Yep. it was wonderful. I absolutely love this song.
I did not know that Ray Charles had sung it, and it's perfect that he did. But what it's interesting, because if you're talking about 1962, at that point, this sound, this straight up kind of urban blues, Chicago blues sound, wasn't that old. You know what I mean? Like that thing that we listen to this song and we go like, oh yeah, that's just classic blues. At that point, it's like 6-7 years old in terms of being in the, I dare use the word, zeitgeist.
That's an interesting point. I will say that Willie just kind of does it. He doesn't like throw anything at it. He just does it. Whereas Ray's is Ray, you know, and I'm not making any sense here. Willie's is Willie's and Ray's is Ray's.
No, well, actually you did though.
Ray's is like, it moves. It's pretty great. Like, on the album Ingredients in a Recipe for Soul, it actually says contains busted because it like as a hype sticker on the front of the album, because it's like, it moves. This one doesn't move. It's just kind of rambling along and like you're on the horseback.
But it is straight up urban city blues as opposed to Delta blues sound.
Totally.
I got to go back and listen to Ray Charles's version now.
Yeah, me too. I had no idea.
She Called Me Baby is up next for track 8. And oh man, my baby left. What the heck am I going to do? Problem is, I can't get her out of my mind.
Yeah.
You know, if you play a lot of these songs backwards, you get your dog back, you get your girl back, you get your truck back, you get your house back. Gopher Hole here. Waylon Jennings did a cover of this song. I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard. And Waylon Jennings' lead song into that. I mean, I just absolutely love that song. And I used to watch that show with my grandmother. She would make me watch General Hospital, and I would make her watch Dukes of Hazzard. And it was like...
I love it.
It was a trade-off.
It's really sad, this song.
Yes.
And it really does, at least maybe, it sums up a situation that is very common, or at least common in my life. where you just want to stop thinking about her. Gosh, can't I just... And then you hear the voice. You actually hear her say in your mind, baby, and it just hurts, or whatever term of endearment the person used. It's a really quite a universal sort of heartbreak thing. The next song is Too Many Rivers. This is a song about two folks that have thought, well, maybe after all this time, we could reconcile. You know, I see two people, maybe they've had a couple of divorces or whatever. It's been some time. Maybe we can get back together. And then realizing, no, there's just too much time has passed. Water has run under that old bridge. There's too many rivers between me and you. I don't know a song that's really about this particular subject where it's, you know, considering, could we get back together? Could we? Oh, no, we can't.
I was waiting for you to say, I don't know any other songs that are about rivers. And then you came up with that. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm still on the rivers. Damn.
But I also bet that there's not another song that has metaphors to rivers and bridges and also possibly jigsaw puzzles, because one of the lines that I also like, and when you try to put love back together, there's always a few little pieces that you can't find. His voice in this is just so resigned.
Willie has the most beautiful voice, whether it's in person, seeing him at a show, or on any of his albums. And what amazes me is that over the years, you know, all of the drinking whiskey, all of the smoking weed, all of the everything else, and the fact that he's 90 years old, I mean, the man still just sounds so beautiful, and he's playing his guitar with the big hole in it, and it still makes the most beautiful music, you know. And I'm wondering if he uses that also when he's doing a studio album or not, or if it's just when he's doing it live. That leads to our last song, Beautiful Annabelle Lee. I love the Edgar Allan Poe poem that this is very loosely inspired by. It's one of my favorite poems, actually. It's something that I've read over the years, and just reading the poem has made me cry. It's just so rich with loss and longing. The changes are very simple and subtle in making it into a song. And again, in and of itself, I listened to it and it, you know, it really pulls on my heartstrings. It was originally released by Burl Ives in 1964, and then Waylon Jennings on his Waylon Sings Ol' Harlan in 67. And of course, this, like so many other songs on this album, have had different renditions and tons of people singing them. But I just think it's a lovely song about star-crossed love to a degree, and how ill-fated it is, but that, you know, someone who he'll always have in his mind. So, you know, going along with the whole theme, it's like, I don't know why all the love songs always have to be so sad. Why can't we have a really happy one? But I guess it would be country music.
This song is actually about a paddle boat, Annabelle Lee. It was a boat, and it would, you know, Edgar Allan Poe lived in Richmond, Virginia for a long time. And on the James River, this boat would, you know, and the boat crashed and burst into flames. And this is the Annabelle Lee. The beautiful Annabelle Lee is the boat. It's not a woman.
Really? I always read it as being a woman. I didn't read any. You're pulling my shit. You're pulling my pork, Mac. Fuck's sake.
Everybody knows that, Deanna.
Fuck's sake. Y'all are both pulling my pork.
When the boat blew up, the paddle wheel actually flew and it smashed into Richmond, Virginia's orphanage home.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which was really an unbelievable disaster. And some people actually blamed the Annabelle Lee's captain of being...
Which was Edgar Allan Poe. He was the driver.
Yes. Yeah. Well, was Edgar driving, though? I think he was just, you know, co-piloting with a bottle.
Right, if he had so much opium in him, right? So he wouldn't have been able to drive. Or maybe that's the reason why the tragedy occurred. Fuck both y'all. Y'all are pulling my cord.
I don't know, Bill, the orphanage was a little much.
Oh, my God. I love you guys so much. You guys are so, I love you.
You know, I don't understand how Willie Nelson can be so good.
Yeah.
I mean, his voice on this is
he's not. He's just been shoved down our throats for the past 60 years.
You know, that is, well, it's interesting you say that because I don't know if it's because of our given circumstances here that I was listening a little closer than I usually do but I don't think that's necessarily true. I think when I've listened to Willie Nelson in the past, I've, you know, appreciated the beauty of his voice, but this is really something. I mean, I feel like he's just talking to me right there, and his voice, the vibrato, is that what it's called, you know, is just so natural. Usually when somebody goes vibrato, I'm like, show off, stop it. Stop that, because it sounds phony or to me sometimes. It's like, yeah, you're showing off, you're just doing that. I don't feel that with Willie Nelson. I feel like it's just what his voice does, and he is able to use it to honest, expressive effect. That's, and he does go, he hits some somewhat high notes.
Range.
Yeah, his range is, wait, is that real?
One of the only songs I think I've heard him do that I like done better by someone else was when I know he first sang Crazy, I believe. And I prefer Patsy Cline's version to it because I think that song should be.
But didn't Willie write it?
Huh?
I think Willie Nelson wrote that.
Yeah, I believe he wrote that song, but and his singing it, I mean, I love it, but I prefer Patsy Cline's version of it because I just think that that particular song should be slower because when he sings it, it has a very fast tempo. But then again, maybe it's just because that particular song I dig where from a woman's point of view, you know, and I love Patsy Cline, but I mean, still though, anything that he's written, I love the song, but most things of his, I absolutely adore just the way he does it. Cause it's like very conversational. Like you said, Bill, it's like it, you know, you feel like you're just sitting there next to him and he's just telling you a story.
Yeah. It's a fun album. And it goes by a little too fast, actually. which bugged me.
Just real quick, I'm not necessarily that much into straight up country, but this album just gets me to the core. This is a huge thumbs up for me. I just love this album. I fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, for me, since I hadn't heard the album before, and there are other Willie albums that I could have picked, but again, I'm going out on a limb, kind of like what you guys do a lot, and picking an album that we haven't listened to before. So I thought it would be great. And Mac and I had discussed it beforehand because I had been thinking Willie, and he also had mentioned it too. So I thought
I listened to it the week it came out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like a comfy sweater, Willie Nelson. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know what you're gonna get with Willie Nelson.
For me, it just has a lot of heartfelt meaning. So I love, and I hope, knock on wood, I hope he's with us for a long time to come. It seems like the way he's cooking it, you know, even just seeing him live on stage, he's still doing it and, you know, and touring and everything. So God bless him. I love it.
I saw him in 2009 with Bob Dylan and John Mellencamp.
I saw that tour.
At Bethel in upstate New York. And a friend of mine had a band at the time and was opening up for the trio. And so we were hightailing it up there, you know, and it's one road in and one road out. And the name of the band was the Wyos. And a guy I went to high school with was playing with the Wyos. And we were running late. Something happened. I mean, I remember the entire story, but I'm not putting it on here. and, you know, we're running to the top of the amphitheater, hoping to hear my friend and his band. And all we hear is Whiskey River, Take My Mind. And we were so mad that we missed it. But you know, it was a great show with Willie and John and Bob.
I saw your friend's band. I'm 89.6% sure because I saw that tour at the Yale Bowl in New Haven. I saw the beginning.
You must have seen him.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah, they were kind of like almost like a jug band, but not a jug band. So they had, you know, one of them had the
washboard.
Thank you. Washboard hung around his neck and kazoo.
That's brilliant. I love that shit. I love it.
Stuff. And I don't think my friend is with them anymore.
You know Scott, who we've gone to shows with before?
Yeah.
We've gone to a couple Dead and Company shows with?
Yeah.
He knew that band. And that's who I went with. And he was like, I really want to see these guys, even though we have to get to New Haven early.
Right. I saw that band a ton of times. We did a benefit at CBGB's and the Wyos played. I forget who else was playing, but then CBGB's like closed quickly thereafter, maybe like a year later.
That always makes me sad that they closed.
Yeah, that place was nuts. So, Bill, Deanna, have you guys seen any live music since we last did the chatty?
No, I don't think so. How about you, Bill?
No, not at all. I haven't, and I'm sad about it.
So Jane and I actually made it to the Garden and saw Janet Jackson. Busta Rhymes came out, did a song with her and danced with her. She played 40 songs. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty great. We maybe sat down for one song out of the 40.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was standing. It was great. It was fun.
A little side note. Our last episode we talked about Scott McMicken and the ever-expanding
shebang.
The very popular NPR show World Cafe has an episode where you can hear live versions of four of the songs. Also, the interview with Scott McMicken is pretty cool.
And it's great. And actually, one of those songs, the last one they play, is not on the album. It's pretty damn tight. I loved it.
Excellent. Okay. That sounds fantastic. I need to check that out.
Next episode, we might have a special guest. A good friend of ours, Walter Brandis, might be joining us. So we make the trio into a quartet. It could be fun. Who knows? He asked to come and join. He's been listening to us and he thinks we're having a blast and he wants to come and have some fun. So for the next episode, we're going to be doing a new album from 2023, from January 27th, called Electrophonic Chronic by The Arcs. It's Dan Auerbach's side project. That's what we got.
Sounds awesome. I hope nobody heard my kitty cat in the background. Did anyone hear my pussy?
Okay, people, that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the Wax Chatty Podcast. If you enjoyed what was in your ears, please rate us and leave us a comment on Spotify or Apple and share this dude with your homies.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. Be nice now and look forward to rapping about our next selection.
Stay tuned.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.